So I'm going to be talking a little bit about another mission of the Carolina Global Breastfeeding Institute, educating our future. I have the distinct pleasure in having worked with both Mary Rose Tully and Miriam Lebach in the creation of what is now being called the Mary Rose Tully Training Initiative. I'm also going to talk about our project-related trainings briefly. And I have no relationships to disclose. So 2 years ago, we did a market research study looking at what the need was and what the demand was for breastfeeding support training. We found that indeed there is a great need for breastfeeding support training with very few residential training courses that provide both lactation education and the clinical experience that's required for prospective students to be IBCLCs. Additionally, there are a limited number of targeted courses for nurses and doctors to address the 10 steps to successful breastfeeding in the hospital setting. Even more scarce are courses for childcare centers on breastfeeding support. The Carolina Global Breastfeeding Institute, with the cooperation of the UNC Women's and Children's Hospital staff and UNC Gillings School of Global Public Health, developed the Mary Rose Tully Training Initiative, which is an IBLCE Pathway 2 clinical training program in breastfeeding support. It was named in honor of Mary Rose Tully. This training program was a longstanding dream of hers, and she was excited to see our first class through their first semester of training. This is a graduate level course. It provides a broad spectrum of clinical practice experiences related to the mother and child with regard to breastfeeding, including consideration of population and program-based applications. It is an academic year-long curriculum and provides students with all of the requirements for Pathway 2 under IBLCE. That includes 300 hours of clinical experience and nearly 150 breastfeeding education hours. I would like to note the 300 hours are directly supervised by recertified IBCLCs, and currently the requirement for Pathway 2 is 90 education hours, so you can see that we are exceeding that. This course was built upon the competency framework that was developed by CGBI for ILCA and IBLC in 2008. Each week, students complete an 8-hour clinical experience day with a recertified lactation consultant and participate in a 3-hour didactic session, which includes lectures and student experiential sharing. So to describe what I mean by the student experiential sharing, students come prepared each week to present a case to their fellow students from their clinical shadowing experience. In addition, they have also been asked to review the literature so that they are knowledgeable about the topics related to their case presentations, so that their fellow classmates can ask them questions about the cases. In addition, there is the lecturer there is also there to moderate and answer any additional questions that come up. Students rotate through all of the clinical sites that I've listed here, allowing students to experience a range of settings, populations, and lactation consultant techniques. I would like to note here that all of our clinical mentors are volunteers and have volunteered to have students shadow them. Students pay tuition to the university, and they pay a small fee which covers their liability insurance, their criminal background checks, which is necessary for the hospital, and some additional processing for other paperwork that's necessary for the hospitals. So this is not a money-making venture, and our clinical staff that is helping us with this, as well as the majority of our lecturers, are doing this strictly voluntarily. So, good news. Our first class finished this past May, and all 6 students sat for the exam in July, and I'm happy to report that as of 2 weeks ago, they had all gotten their scores, and we had a 100% pass rate on the IBLCE exam. Our current class is 11 students, and they are all on track for very similar success. some student feedback from year one. These are two quotes from two different students. One said, "How can I, as a public health practitioner, help formulate breastfeeding programs and policy in the community if I have no idea what mother-baby dyads need, want, and have access to? I would recommend this course to any MPH student with an interest in maternal and infant health." Another student said, "Through this training, I learned more about maternal and child health issues above and beyond breastfeeding than in any course during my public health master's work." So I also want to just highlight a few of our project-related trainings. The breastfeeding-friendly healthcare trainings that both Nathan and Emily mentioned include the on-site nurses trainings and the MD trainings. One thing that I want to highlight for both breastfeeding-friendly healthcare trainings and our breastfeeding-friendly childcare trainings, which we haven't talked about today, is that a key component, and this was sort of alluded to earlier, a key component of our training approaches, particularly our nurses and childcare center trainings, use adult-appropriate learning modalities. So the trainings are interactive rather than solely didactic, addressing both factual information about breastfeeding as well as participants' feelings and misconceptions related to infant feeding. Perhaps because of this approach, as Emily described earlier, we have found our participants to be extremely receptive to the information and excited to share it with other staff. The childcare trainings, in particular, were developed based on the knowledge, attitudes, and practice that was given to providers and self-assessments given to the centers. The trainings are attended by childcare providers and directors, and by the end of the training year, we will have trained a total of 96 centers in Wake County, North Carolina. So my conclusions, there does remain a great need for breastfeeding support training targeting nurses, doctors, mid-level providers, and childcare centers. And there is also, as our market research indicated, a demand for more standing opportunities for students and professionals to acquire clinical training hours under recertified IBCLCs. Firstly, I want to acknowledge Mary Rose Tully, who believed this program would was so important and worked so hard to see it off the ground. This also, as I mentioned, would not be possible without all of our fantastic lecturers at UNC and Rex and all of our wonderful lactation consultant volunteers. Wow, I did not think that was gonna choke me up. Sorry. Thank you.
Anyway, so we have a chunk of time for questions, which is, you know, a reflection of how well this panel organized itself and stuck to its time, and it's what's always a delight and makes it easier for the moderator. So if there are questions from the audience for any of the speakers specifically or just generally, yes. And would you kind of say who you are and where you're from, please? The question is whether for the taping, we need to repeat it. So were the students full-time? Yeah, so what kind of program were they either matriculated in or what were they? Okay.
Sure. That is a wonderful question. I didn't really go into all the specifics of the students, but in our first year, five of our six students were full-time students, four of them in our master's in maternal and child health program, one a PhD candidate in nutrition, and one who was working as well. This year, we actually have a much more diverse group and I guess the other thing that I'll say is that our very first group of six, none of our students were mothers. This group of 11 actually is much more diverse in that five of our 11 are mothers. Five of them in a different group are working on their master's in maternal and child health. We have a nursing student working full-time. And then two students that are working full-time in addition to taking the class. But as I mentioned, this is a graduate level class, so students, in order to participate, either have a master's level education or in a master's program related to health.